Good evening. Glad you're all here, and appreciate Brother Steve coming back tonight and asking him to lead us in that last song, because that's going to go along very well with what we want to study about tonight. If you would, for a quick minute, just take a look up and around, and you'll notice that there are quite a few empty seats. You know, it wasn't long ago until we had a group to come and work with us for about a whole week, knocking on doors, participating in a local campaign, having a Sunshine Family Camp, and also participating in a gospel meeting. But now, after those things have kind of calmed and settled themselves down, what are we going to do? Well, there is still plenty to do, as you can tell. It's our objective to go out and to spread the good news about Jesus Christ, a man who lived a sinless life, who died upon the cross, shed his sinless blood that our sins could be washed away, and that he was risen again to give us all the hope of eternal life. A very important message, but not everyone has heard. If you would with me, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. You'll find that there was a time in which even Jesus wanted his disciples to share the important message. Beginning in verse 35, we read these words. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Yes, the harvest today still is very, very plentiful, but there are very few laborers. In fact, if you were to ask the brotherhood across this country and even throughout the whole world, they'll readily tell you there is a shortage of preachers that desperately need to be filled. There is a great mission field right here and throughout the entire world, and it's our job to go and to spread the good news of the gospel of Christ. When you think about the mission that Jesus gives, you find that, first of all, we are to have a very special relationship with him. That relationship is described in the church, because in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, Paul tells us how we are all connected. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul says that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You'll recall that while Jesus was upon the earth, he promised to build his church. The Bible teaches us that Christ purchased the church with his own blood. And we find that as those heard the gospel of Christ, believed it, and obeyed it, they did what was necessary to become saved. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 teaches us, the Lord adds the saved to the church. It is our mission to teach them the truth. It is their job to hear the truth, believe it, and obey it, and thus the Lord would add the saved to his church. Very similarly to Ephesians, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul said that Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We are Christ's body. Christ is the head of that body. And we become connected when we are obedient to the very gospel, the very message that it is for us to spread, the very message that the world needs to hear. And it doesn't matter who can hear the gospel, because in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we learn that it is for the Jew first, but also to the Greek. The message is for one and all. And so when anyone obeys the gospel of Christ, they become a member of the body of Christ. And when you were to look out in this time, see the seats that are filled, you would find a great variation. People of all ages, all sizes, all shapes, all colors, and on we can describe of the differences in gender and whatnot. We're all different. We all have our own talents. We all have our own abilities. But there is something that God gave to each and every one of us. And God needs each and every one of us. There is something that we can all do. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12 and following, Paul talks about how we are different members, but yet we are all part of the same body. We are all connected to Christ, and each one is needed. You'll recall, just because a greater part seems greater and a lesser part seems lesser, one cannot say to the other, I have no need of you. Why? Because we're all needed. I'm sure we can all think about our own body parts and the things that we use a lot more than others. Perhaps those that are bigger in size, we may notice more. But if you've ever stubbed your little toe or hurt your little pinky, even though it seems very small, it does hurt just as much, perhaps, as everything else. You know that every single part indeed is necessary. And thus, with Christ as the head of the body, we are complete in Him, and He is complete with us. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, there Paul said that in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Without Christ, we are incomplete. There is something that is lacking. And when you look at Jesus and who He was, God in the flesh, one that lived a sinless life, one that set the example for us to follow, one that taught the things about Himself and the things concerning the kingdom of God, you find that He was no longer able to do this after He had left. And so when He completed the will that His Father left for Him to do, there were those that He depended upon. But what is it, one may wonder, that God needed Him to do? Well, I believe the Gospel of John in chapter 3 answers that question very, very clearly. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, a verse that is very familiar to many, if not all of us, here's what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, when we look up and see how the harvest is plentiful, we find there are a lot of people that indeed need to be saved. There are many that are still living in sin. There are many that are lost. There are many that have never even heard of the Savior, of Jesus Christ. There are many that do not know who God is. There are many that do not know what Jesus had done for them. There are those that are not even familiar with the Lord's church. There are those that are not familiar with how to live a faithful Christian life. There are those that are not even familiar with the Word of God. But you see, Jesus did His part. God sent Him. And He was faithful to do His Father's will at any or all costs. And when He had completed that, He knew that there was someone else that needed to carry on the mission. And then as we turn to the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, He began to issue that command to His apostles. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." God had a plan for Jesus, and Jesus did his Father's will. And upon completion of that will, well, Jesus knew that he would only remain upon this earth for a little while. And as he said, as the Father had sent him, so he also was sending his apostles. Well, as you begin to wonder about his apostles, where did God send Jesus? Well, we just read that he came into the world, that the world through him might be saved. And that's where the apostles were to go. Earlier in John chapter 17, we find beginning in verse 18 that Jesus prayed, "As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth." What is the relationship between the world and the truth? Well, there are many in the world that do not know the truth. And earlier, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If we do not know the truth, but the truth makes us free, don't you want to know that? I want to know what the truth is. And Jesus tells us clearly what truth is. In fact, there are three sources of truth that we read about in the Bible. The first is in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by me." So we know that Jesus himself is the truth. And then the second source is found earlier in John chapter 17 and in verse 3. There Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God did send Jesus. God is the only true God, and Jesus is true. Therefore, Jesus came from the only true God. It all makes sense. But still, there's another source. That other source is found in the same chapter, John chapter 17. This time in verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The word of God is very, very true. Whether it was spoken, whether it was written, it all comes from God. It is verified, and it also withholds the test of time, the very word that helps us to know what the truth really is. And by knowing the truth and doing it, it will lead us to be free. You see, that's why Jesus sent them into all the world. Just as Jesus came into the world, that is where they were commanded to go. Remember the Great Commission, as many refer to it as, in Matthew chapter 28. There, beginning in verse 18, Jesus instructed them. He says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Why were they to baptize? Because that's what one must do in order to be obedient to the gospel. That's why, again, in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." You see, the world is lost. Jesus has the words of everlasting life. He promised his apostles to go and to proclaim that very world. And so their job was to go into the world and help to bring many out of it in a spiritual sense. Because even though physically we live in the world, and once we become Christians, we are no longer of the world. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and in verse 19 that if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You see, being in the world and of the world are two different ideas. We only remain in the world for just a little while until we find that Christ promised to return again. And when he does so, he will take us, hopefully, with him in heaven. We know he will, but that is up to us. If we have heard the gospel, believed it, and obeyed it. But the apostles carried out the will of Christ as long as they were here in the world. But what happened once the apostles were no longer? Well, someone else had to carry on the word, did they not? Is that not the responsibility of each and every Christian? Is that not your responsibility and mine to carry out the message of Jesus Christ? The Lord is calling you. He is calling me. And as we look up and see a plentiful harvest, remember that there are very few laborers. There are many that have been called, but as the Bible says, there are only few that are chosen. Are we choosing to do what God has called us to do? Well, you may remember one example that did. Even though he was told that it was not going to be very easy. You know him as the Apostle Paul. In Acts, the 9th chapter, we're told of a man named Ananias, who was from the street that is called Straight, and Saul of Tarsus was sent to him to find out what he needs to do in order to be saved. But in verse 13 of Acts chapter 9, Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But in verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, let's think about that for just a moment. The Lord told Ananias to go because he was going to meet Saul of Tarsus. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if Ananias did not go? If Saul never did hear what he needed to know in order to be saved? And then think forward in your minds all the places where later known as the Apostle Paul, he went and proclaimed the gospel. And the many people that heard the truth, believed it, and obeyed it. None of this would have been possible. Ananias went when God said to go. In verse 17, the Bible says, "Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And then also what happened to the Apostle Paul? He went. God called him to many places, and he did exactly what he was called to do. But what about on the other hand? If you think back in your minds, there was one individual that God said to go, but he did not go. In fact, he went the opposite direction. Remember Jonah? God called him to go unto Nineveh, but instead he boarded a ship sailing for Tarshish. You could read all about this in the first three verses. and the book of Jonah. Jonah quickly learned his lesson that he knew that it was trouble ahead if he did not do what God said to do. But instead he realized, yes, the people of Nineveh are in desperate need, just like the people in this area and everywhere else through the entire world. There is a great need. The word of God indeed must be heard. But in order for it to be heard, one must be sent. You can read about that in Romans chapter 10. How faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. But how shall they preach or hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Well, who is God going to send? Well, if you have the attitude like so many people have, well, it's not me, it's somebody else. You know, I learned quickly as I was growing up, what happens if everybody has that attitude? Well, who did this? Well, you know, that's not me, that was so-and-so's responsibility. And so-and-so says, no, that's not mine, but that's yours. And so both people are pointing the fingers at each other. Meanwhile, nothing is getting done. But instead, we need to have the attitude that the prophet Isaiah had, just as we have just sung. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 8, Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. The Lord is calling. Who is He going to send? He wants to send us. Are you going to answer that call? Are we ready? Can we proudly proclaim, here are we. Lord, send us. As together we stand and sing.